Today I'm talking with David Wilcox, who is the principal of ReachScale. And David attends lots of conferences per year, and I mean a lot. David, thanks for joining us. Can you first tell us what your business is that takes you to so many conferences and about how many you attend?
Well, ReachScale is an effort that I started really right at the beginning of this year after meeting with over 100 social enterprises and nonprofits in 2009 through conferences that I attended then. And I really decided to make a commitment to building out the capability to identify the best social enterprises and find the corporate partners who could work with them to scale their impact models. So it turns out that conferences are a very effective way to rapidly build a set of relationships in an ecosystem. I already have a pretty good network, but I decided to, in essence, try to do what you do, you know, on Facebook or LinkedIn when you build up a network, but I decided to build it up in person. And so I've been attending 4 to 5 conferences a month since January. My last conference, the Sustainable Brands Conference, was my 20th conference since January.
Wow. So what do you feel the benefit is for taking the time and the expense to go to the conferences in person rather than other means of networking, as you mentioned, Facebook or Twitter, for example?
Well, you know, the core of what I'm trying to accomplish requires persuading companies to spend marketing dollars on scaling social enterprise. That's something that's not even on their radar. So to accomplish that part of the activity, I really have to get to the leaders of the companies. And the way to get to them is through their speaking engagements. And so I go to conferences where they are going to be speaking, and that enables me to talk to them directly, which is really the only way you could get, you know, a senior level person to consider a new idea like this. So, you know, with respect to what I'm doing, I don't see that there's a lot of other options. If you're just building your personal network, you know, then I would say everybody should attend a few conferences each year just to keep their knowledge base up in their area of focus, but also some conferences that aren't in their area of focus so that they keep a broad set of context in case they want to change focus at some point.
So you and I were talking earlier, and you mentioned that we were talking about your business, the conferences you attend, and you said that you interact or work a conference, your conference experience is not like anyone else's because you go to so many, and this is really the bread and butter of the business that you're building. So can you tell us some of the tactics and strategies that you use, how you approach a conference, how you approach conversations?
Sure. I often get asked this question, and usually it's in the context of someone who feels a certain level of apprehension about what they're seeing me do and would like to be more confident and more capable of starting conversations and eventually building relationships. But there's often kind of the sense that it's based on some kind of, you know, psychological knowledge or trick or something that people do to become extroverts or something. And so I want to start off by discounting that and suggesting that there's kind of two basic things that you need to decide before you go to a conference, and that once you get there, if these two ingredients are in place, it solves really 70% of the issue around reaching out to people and starting conversations and building relationships. So the first one is you need to be confident that the idea or message or opportunity that you're going to present to people at this conference is both, you know, significant and also interesting to them. And that's pretty fundamental. People often are concerned about approaching people not because of any, you know, lack of skill, but simply because they don't have confidence in the reason for approaching them. And you just fundamentally need to know that you're there for a good reason, an important reason. If you don't feel that way about either the product that you're marketing or the partnership ideas that you're implementing, you know, no amount of tricks will overcome that. So that's really fundamental, is do I have an idea that I think is going to be of interest to the people that I'm approaching, and is it an idea that's important enough to be worth them spending a few minutes talking to me about it? There's nothing that will go further to enable you to be effective at a conference than being comfortable with that. Often that means that, you know, your overall company or consulting firm or service provider firm needs to have tied its offerings to the major trends that are going on in the market and needs to have a expression of their services that addresses those trends and that shows how they can help the person you're talking to be more successful and how they can help their company be more successful or their career be more successful. And, you know, that's pretty fundamental to being confident about approaching people and to being clear about what you're going to tell them and what you're going to ask them.
That's a good one. And you mentioned a second one?
Well, the second one is really getting comfortable with talking about the issue without spending all of your time talking about yourself or your company.
Okay.
And that's kind of a basic business development skill that some people learn and some people don't, but it benefits everybody. And the sooner you can state what it is you want to talk to them about in a way that isn't constantly saying I, me, we, or the name of the company, the sooner you're going to be more effective in talking to them. So you want to couch what you're going to present to them in those trends and those opportunities and those ways for them to improve. And you want to present it to them without spending all of your time talking about yourself.
That's interesting. Okay. Well, do you have an opening line or, I mean, not to get too sticky here, but like, or a technique that you use if you're approaching someone at a conference, a speaker who gets approached a lot? I mean, your idea could be terrific, that they're still getting their attention and, you know, they could see someone else coming towards them to want something and kind of they just have that leery look in their eyes. Like, do you have a way that you break through and make a connection with them in the beginning?
Well, again, it helps to step back a little bit and kind of answer, again, the what kind of role do I want to play in this meeting or in this series of conversations? So a simple way to think about this is I need to be comfortable that I am going to participate in this conference and really make a contribution, that I'm personally going to make a contribution to the conversations that are already going on. I'm not just here to have my conversation. I'm here to share knowledge and create shared value around other people's conversations and about and around what the presenters are presenting. So once you make that commitment, everything kind of shifts. For example, you now are going to the sessions. You're not spending time out in the hall talking on your phone. You're not working with other people outside of the office and trying to get other business done and other work done. You're focused on the conference. You're in every session, and as you listen to the speakers in the sessions, you're trying to think up good questions, trying to think up topics that they might be interested in speaking with you after the presentation. You're participating in the conference. And once you do that, people will recognize that that's your attitude. They'll see you in the sessions. They'll see you asking a question here and there. They'll see you going up and talking to speakers, which is one of the places where I focus, is trying to meet as many of the speakers as I can. And as they see you operating in that way and they see people having good experiences with you, everything opens up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And it does make sense. How do you
That's not really a trick. That's a commitment to share value in an interaction with real people to try to build real relationships. And again, that goes way further in enabling you to have the right kinds of conversations and be confident about having them than any of the tricks that I may share shortly.
Do you want to start talking about some of your tricks? And I use that term with humor behind it.
Okay. So, again, thinking about why you're there, one of the reasons I go to conferences is I want to meet the leaders in the ecosystem. And I believe that there is value to be created by introducing ideas and connecting people across ecosystems, and by going to multiple conferences, that enables me to do that. Now, not everybody will be doing that, but everybody brings a set of relationships to the meeting that they can share. And when you think about it in that way, it enables you to approach speakers more aggressively, for example, because you're bringing something to the table. And I think that's useful in thinking about it that way. So in terms of the way that you meet speakers, the most important thing I try to do is ask a good question in some portion of the sessions. Because if you've asked a good question, that gives you access to the speakers. So you're not going to have a question for every session, and it wouldn't be fair for you to ask a question in every session because, you know, there will be other people with questions. But I find that in most conferences, I can put up one of the very best questions in roughly a third to half of the sessions. And that's a very useful way to gain access to the speakers, because having asked a good question, you are now a participant. And when you go up to talk to them after, they recognize you and other people recognize you. And often you'll get cards and introductions from people who like the question. I typically get 5 to 15 cards per conference from people who liked questions that I asked. So that's kind of number one. Number two, I often go up and introduce myself to the speakers before the session starts. I exchange cards with them. I say, you know, can I exchange a card with you before all hell breaks loose, projecting that they're going to have a big line afterwards, which often they do. So that's another good way to establish, you know, the connection. Then when you ask the question, you know, you don't have to go up and wait in line afterwards. You can contact them based on the value of those two interactions in that session. And, you know, when you look at it that way, it also enables you in situations where there are multiple sessions going on to, you know, introduce yourself to a few people in sessions that you're not going to attend. And I usually tell people, I am not able to attend your session. I have to go to a different session, but I wanted to introduce myself, and I exchange cards with them before the sessions begin. And I usually take break time to do that. So those are kind of examples of how you can, you know, just increase the number of conversations you can have, particularly with speakers.
How many cards do you think you exchange during a conference? And I know that's tricky because conferences vary in size of length and participants, but do you have any sense on average?
Well, a simple way to think about it is that if there's, you know, X number of speakers at the conference and I'm trying to meet half of them, you know, that's going to be, you know, 0.5x. So, you know, if it's a conference with 80 speakers, then I would end up with, you know, 40 introductions and cards from those conversations. And then, you know, realistically, and I'm not going to say everybody can do this, but I think a normal person should be able to have kind of an equivalent number of conversations with people, you know, who are attending the conference. So I would say a very successful conference, I think, for most people would be, you know, meeting 30 to 50% of the speakers and having an equivalent number of conversations with other people at the conference, you know, either on the breaks or, you know, often if you go into a session early, there's an opportunity to introduce yourself to the people who are sitting around you, particularly if the conference is set up in tables. And I really like it when conferences are set up in tables because it gives you a natural way to meet a group of people at every session that you go to. But if it's not set up that way, you just kind of imagine you're at a table and, you know, get the people in front and behind you and strike up a couple of conversations. Again, if you can think of some value to add, if you have some people you can introduce them to, if they have a different set of issues than, you know, what you're there for, and if you do that as an active participant, as an active connector, people are going to respond completely differently than if you're just there to sell something.
So what does a successful conference look like to you?
Well, to me, I go into each conference thinking that there's going to be at least five, if not more, new ideas that surface at that conference that I hadn't thought of before, that people have either suggested in conversation or by listening to them and combining it with my knowledge, a new opportunity arises, a new project, a new effort, a new solution comes to mind. And so often I'm in conversation with people to see if they think that's a good idea or to talk to the person who suggested the idea. And I kind of look at this as an opportunity to start a project. And I'm not real restrictive about what a project looks like. I mean, a project can be anything from, you know, I'd like you to meet some other people I know who care about this, to, you know, we really ought to take a look at how we might do a campaign like Pepsi Refresh in the developing world and enable organizations to provide money to excellent social enterprises in the developing world. So I've started that project over the last 3 months in several conferences, and I've, you know, we've got a team of about, I don't know, 10, 12 people who are working on that project. No, they're not working actively. It's not their job description. It's something they're working on pro bono as ideas arise or opportunities arise. And it's actually making fairly significant progress over the last 5 months.
Oh, that's very interesting. So when you decide to go to a conference, what type of footwork or research or advanced work do you do before attending the conference, before showing up at that first session?
Well, you know, I'm kind of down the learning curve personally, so I'm not going to say I do this for every conference, but I would suggest for people who've, you know, expressly said, I'm going to try to make this conference a opportunity for me to learn how to be more productive and more effective in a conference experience, then there's two or three things I would do. First of all, I would take a quick look at everyone who's speaking at the conference, and I would ask three questions. You know, do I know people in this person's company? Do I know people in this person's network? And you can use, if you're a LinkedIn user, you can use LinkedIn to kind of visualize what their network looks like. And do I care about things or have knowledge of things that they're likely to be interested in? And you can do that by just Googling them and see what they're writing on, see where they're speaking, see what the topics are they're covering. And, you know, if you do that for the speakers, that's a, you know, that's a pretty significant amount of preparation. It probably would take, I'm going to say, 3 hours, maybe 4 hours. Somebody who walks into a conference with, you know, connections to, you know, some reasonable portion of the speakers that they're about to try to meet, is in a much, much better position. You know, if you can walk up and say, you know, I know so-and-so, I worked with them through this think tank on this project. They mentioned you, or maybe they never mentioned them, but you just know somebody else in their network. That's a huge plus in connecting with people. So that's the main thing I would do.
That's interesting. So you do this. Do you go to a lot of conferences now where there's an overlap in speakers?
All the conferences, I try to pick conferences where there are either a lot of, you know, what I consider to be thought leader social entrepreneurs, or where there are a lot of thought leader corporate speakers, usually on a particular topic, whether it's, you know, ethics and compliance, or innovation, or digital marketing, you know, whatever the conference topic might be. I'm looking for, you know, the leaders of that ecosystem to be represented within that conference, and that's why I choose to go there. But does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. It doesn't specifically answer, but I think that it answers why you, I mean, answers how you select the conferences.
Right.
But I wanted to ask about the conference coordinators. The heads of the conference, do you make an effort to reach out and connect with them? Do you do that before the conference or during the conference, or to send them a follow-up? And if so, how does that impact your relationship in this area, in this ecosystem, or your relationship to the conference?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I would say in about half the cases, I mainly interact with them at the conference, and in about half the cases, I actually have reasonably extensive interactions with them before. So I was just at the Sustainability Brands Conference in Monterey, California, and Sustainable Brands, who puts that on, I had, you know, at least two conversations with the woman who runs the organization before the conference, and suggested some speakers to her, and suggested some topics for the conference. And eventually that resulted in a request for me to moderate a panel, which I did. So that was one where there was extensive interaction beforehand. But that's only true in about half the cases.
Do you go to conferences? I know that you're just starting this, but do you see value in going to conferences, for example, Sustainable Brands next year? Repeat appearances at conferences?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at that the way you probably would any, you know, learning experience, and that is if it was a good experience once, it's probably going to be a good experience again. Having been to a conference, you actually can plan and be involved more effectively, and you may also be able to come back to the conference organizers after your first experience. And, you know, if you want to speak at the conference, you may be able to suggest some topics or ideas or present yourself more effectively as a potential speaker. So, you know, all of those are advantages from having been at the conference previously. Sometimes I find conferences that I don't consider to be particularly interactive, and I tend to not go to those conferences again. If they don't have enough Q&A time in the sessions, I may not return, because to me that's a critical to respect the audience's intelligence and their ability to contribute to the experience, and also that's a critical thing for me to be able to provide value and also build relationships through, you know, different question and answer experiences at the conference.
So I want to ask you about follow-up, and if follow-up to me seems pretty straightforward. I've gone to enough conferences and have collected business cards and made notes in some cases and followed up on the conversations or that were had or the connections that I'm intending to make. But because this is such a critical element of your mission, do you have any other thoughts or techniques that you use to follow up that are more effective perhaps, or that you found easier or more fun, frankly?
That's a very good question. I think you do have to make this fun. And, part of everything I've tried to do here, I think, is to give people the confidence so that when they show up at the conference, they can enjoy themselves and not be worried about some of the stuff that undermines people's success when they're at these kinds of meetings. That said, I think the follow-up really, really benefits from how you experience the conference. Because if people experienced you as a real participant, as really trying to add value, then all of the different follow-up options are going to improve. And you're going to have more options. So the kind of options I use typically are when I come back, I have someone who works with me put all of the card information into a spreadsheet, and I just use that to kind of make sure that I know who I talk to. Probably about a third of the people I send a very explicit email to proposing a conversation. About a third of the people I either send just a general thank you note or a link or an invitation to connect on LinkedIn. And about a third of the people I don't really do any follow-up on because nothing surfaced through the conversations or I wasn't able to actually have a conversation with them. And when I looked at their organization, I didn't have anything to offer. That's kind of the general categories that it falls into. And, the other thing that happens is more people invite you and more people send you an email saying that was really interesting. I'd like to talk about that because they actually felt that you were willing to add value to them. And I think there's a whole karma thing going on here that if you just have good karma around your conference experiences over time, that serendipity increases. And as serendipity increases, you get this virtuous cycle going on that I've heard many social entrepreneurs talk about because of the kind of work that they're doing and the way in which they are in the world.
Do you experience a big shift, distinctions in personalities depending on the nature of the conference? So if you're going to a business and ethics conference versus cause marketing versus social venture, do you feel that there is, in terms of the general attendance and speakers, a different type of vibe or general personality?
Well, I try to add value in different ways. And what you just suggested is an important consideration in how one might think about adding value. So if I'm at a social enterprise conference, and I was at one in San Francisco where I met your colleague, they tend to be very positive conferences with everybody really excited about what they're doing. And at that conference, I chose to ask a question or propose at one of the plenary sessions that as good as all these social enterprise conferences are, there are huge portions of the corporate and government and even the nonprofit world who know very little about the social enterprise ecosystem, and I suggested maybe we should all go to one less social enterprise conference and we should all arrange to speak at some of these other conferences. So that was kind of a provocative idea that, taking what in positioning the world is called the against position and saying, let's add some value that's maybe different than what people would normally think of. I was at the Compliance Week conference in D.C. the week before, and there I was the lone voice for positive ethics. Everybody at the conference was trying to make sure people didn't do things, i.e. the wrong things that would get you in trouble and might land you in jail. And I was there vocalizing the idea that ethics and compliance had to have a positive component too. So that made me, ask a number of very provocative questions that would not have been asked had I not been at that conference.
Do you, going into a conference or into a conversation or a day of a conference, do you set a specific intention or mission? Do you have something clear in your head that you say, this is my objective, this is my intention for whatever interaction is coming up?
I would say my intention clarity is really around being open and trying to, you know, see things from other people's points of view, trying to be open to serendipity, trying to kind of listen to what's going on, both, you know, in the meetings, but also just kind of get the vibe of the conference and get a feeling for, you know, what people are out there trying to, you know, attend the conference in a positive way. Because the sooner I meet those people, the more they can help me connect and I can help them connect with other people. So, you know, it's not an intention that is built around specifics. It's an intention that's built around how to be at the conference and how to present ideas. And you know, like many people, you can sometimes get frustrated in the audience by, you know, either a speaker running too long and or, you know, maybe taking a position that you're not crazy about. And I find you just have to let go of that stuff because it really gets in the way of that intentionality to be open and be willing to learn new things.
Interesting. David, is there anything else that you wanted to add? I found this to be really helpful. I'm just being a little more conscious and thinking about how to reframe some of the issues, some of the issues and bringing up the issues and reframing our messaging and our opportunities as we engage with speakers and fellow participants at conferences. Is there anything else that I haven't asked about that you wanted to share?
Well, I really appreciate the questions you've asked because you've asked a number of questions that I haven't really thought about, and so I've learned a lot from this conversation as well, which I think is one of the basic things that make conferences so much more valuable than most people give them credit for. Is that the conference presents so many different avenues to learning and avenues to ideas and avenues to relationships with people who can help you with those ideas. And, you know, as you begin to realize how flexible and vibrant and robust a really good conference can be, if you're there with a really good set of ideas to share, then it becomes worth investing, you know, time, you know, every other month or once a quarter in being at one of these events, even if it's not part of your normal work life.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that I take from conferences and even smaller networking events is just the enthusiasm. It's the ideas, but it's sharing those ideas and talking to people with similar interests or, as you just mentioned, who raise good questions. And that's certainly more difficult, but not impossible to get online.
I agree.
Well, David, thanks for joining us and sharing some of your tactics and your strategies. And I would love for anyone who's listening to this interview to look out for you at the next type of conference. Do keep a public list of where you're going to be.
Yeah, if you go to reachscale.com, over on the right, you'll see a category called Roadwork.
Okay.
And under Roadwork are the conferences I've attended. Now, it doesn't distinguish between past and future, so it's a little tricky, but usually the ones at the bottom, there'll be two or three conferences that I'm going to attend. I should keep my LinkedIn profile more up to date with that, but I don't always do that. But that rescale.com would be the place to go.
Okay, great. David, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thanks, Olivia. Really appreciate your time as well.
For more interviews about cause capitalism, visit causecapitalism.com.